From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, don't win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, welcome in. It's Thursday afternoon as we record this. Todd Monken, still Georgia's offensive coordinator as far as we know. Georgia basketball has lost another game, but Kentucky's coming to town, and we'll talk about some facility plans at Georgia across several sports. And I don't know if we're going to maybe give a wish list about what we'd want to see at some venues. We'll break down the NFL Combine invites. That's quite a tease, Ryan. You got anything else that we need to talk about?
No, man, just enjoying this spring weather. Is this what they call fake spring? Isn't that what they call it? You know, you get a little warmer weather and you get excited, and then next thing you know, the winter extends itself and you get a cold splash. But there is Georgia baseball to look forward to on the horizon. That's a spring sport, right? So, you know, a lot of excitement about the warmer weather for the time being.
Yeah, it's going to rain very soon here in Athens.
Yeah, so. And for a while too, right?
Yeah. Georgia softball does open tonight, but you know what? We mostly focus on Georgia football. And Todd Monken has interviewed since our last podcast for a second time with the Baltimore Ravens. Don't really have too much else to say about that. We hit on it big time last episode. It's just a wait and see. Look, I saw Kirby Smart Tuesday night at the Georgia Ole Miss game. He was on his phone a lot, just checking it out, like, you know, looking at his text messages probably. He didn't look like a guy that was too worried about his offensive coordinator. Maybe when you've won two national championships, you feel pretty good. I mean, he's not one to rest on his laurels, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess as long as time goes by and Todd is still employed at UGA, one thing I will say about this NFL interview process, it's long. Like, these teams are interviewing like up to double-digit candidates for coordinator jobs. So, anyway, stay tuned, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, this thing obviously is more than just one coach. Now, that coach, you know, Monken, when they filled that position, was a great hire. But, hey, I know there's Bobo doubters out there. If he's the next in line, I don't think Georgia fans should be too worried. He was a great coordinator, and, you know, say what you will about maybe some third long draw calls or whatever. But if he's your guy, I think you feel lucky that you have a Mike Bobo to come in for Monken if that pans out that way. But, again, no news is good news right now for Georgia on that front, at least.
I don't think we need to break down the who's going to replace him quite yet. We'll save that for – and when that happens, but it is Super Bowl this weekend, and Georgia well represented as usual. N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis on the Eagles. Mecole Hardman is out of this game, placed on the injury list by the Chiefs. Who else they got? Don't they have a defensive lineman that is on the staff?
Malik here. Why is his name slipping me now?
Malik Herring.
Herring, yeah, thank you. I believe on their squad, I saw.
Yeah, I think he was inactive the last game, maybe.
Well, you know the thing about Mecole, they activated that running back from LSU there. That
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire.
Yeah, Hilaire. So, you know, I thought that was interesting. I mean, I know Mecole's battled some injuries, but I would imagine, you know, he played in the championship game, the AFC championship game. So I'd imagine, you know, he would have gone in this one. It seemed like it might have been a business decision in some sense to reactivate Edwards Lair. But, yeah, you hate to see Mecole kind of injured. I think it's an oblique, they're calling it. Is that what it is?
Don't know for sure. More importantly, got fresh in my inbox in the last hour or so. Bet Online, the nice folks there, I assume they're nice, I don't know. Sent me some prop bets for the Super Bowl. So I got a couple to ask you, Ryan. You
ready? I saw some of those. I think it was yesterday I got an email about that. Go for it.
I mean, I probably got three or four different prop bet emails from different betting organizations. The length of America the Beautiful, which apparently is going to be sung by Babyface. Over under 109 seconds.
Oh, man, how do you even bet on that? I've always heard the national anthem, obviously. Well, they set that usually at a minute 50. Is that accurate?
I don't know.
I mean, as far as America Beautiful, I have no clue. I'll say it goes over.
All right, what will be said or shown first during the broadcast? Here are your choices. The video of the Philly special from Super Bowl 52.
Mm-hmm.
The video or picture of a Rocky statue. Or a video or picture of a cheesesteak.
Let's go with Philly. Philly will be shown because they would, it'd kind of be a promo clip of the last time. Wait, that Philadelphia was at the Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Philly special?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what they called it, right? Philly, Philly?
I didn't know that. Don't know. All right, which Chiefs fan will be shown first? Here are your choices. Jason Sudeikis,
okay.
Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, or Henry Winkler?
Oh, my God. I mean, these are so ridiculous. Do we know they're all going to be in attendance?
I mean, it's in Arizona. That's not too far from L.A. if they live out there.
Oh, that's true. Who was the second?
Paul Rudd.
Who?
Paul Rudd, the actor.
Oh, yeah, Paul Rudd. Give me Paul Rudd.
I'm going to go with Rob Riggle. He's usually.
But here's the thing. Like, doesn't he do pregame stuff with –
He does game day.
Well, what channel is the game on this year?
CBS, I think, maybe. Okay. No, not CBS.
Rob Riggle does stuff with
Fox. It's Fox. It's Fox.
Okay, well, he might be on in pregame. Does that count?
No, I think they're talking about during the broadcast.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, last one. First song Rihanna will sing at halftime. I don't think I probably know these songs, like if I heard them on the radio, but I don't necessarily know them by title. Here we go. This Is What I Came For, Where Have You Been, and Don't Stop the Music.
Let's go with Don't Stop the Music.
You have no idea any of these songs, do you?
No. I mean, I'm with you there. I'd know them if I heard them, I guarantee you.
All right. I'll be watching. Rihanna's got a lot of good music. Like, I saw a video clip thing of her when they announced it, like, 9-10 months ago. And she's got some well-known songs. So we'll be interested.
Some of them, I don't know if they're equipped to be Super Bowl halftime entertainment, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you're doing. Did you not see, what was her name? The Latin American singer.
Shakira?
Yeah. That was probably a little risky, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Georgia spent $4.5 million in recruiting from July 1st, 2021 to June 30th, 2022. Had a story yesterday with Steve Berkowitz of USA Today, who is in our fine network. A nugget we gleaned from the Georgia NCAA financial report that we received, I received yesterday. Is that money well spent?
I think two national titles tells you that it was definitely well spent. I mean, going back even further, wasn't there a 6-year time span too where they spent $5 million more than any other program? I mean, hey, Kirby knew when he took over what it would take, money into everything from facilities to recruiting to, heck, you name it. Now with NIL involved, I mean, there's no doubt that the big spenders reap the rewards, and that's what Georgia's done the past couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's complaining about Georgia's recruiting spending. Somebody responded kind of snarkily, I guess I would say, to, well, why don't you say how much Georgia's brought in football revenue? And I responded after looking up the number, which was $155 million. Now,
up in the bucket is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, that money's got to cover your expenses as well, which is not just your recruiting budget. It's a lot of other things, including
other sports, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's running, it's kind of fuels
your athletic department as a whole. Right?
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it was three recruiting cycles ago, something like that. I did a story on how Georgia spent $3.7 million, which was the number back then. There's some interesting numbers in that story if you want to find it. But I think Five Bar in particular was a go-to place on their recruiting weekends when they're hosting folks. So they dropped plenty of dimes there. Ron, are you a five bar guy? What do you get when you go there of those five choices?
Yeah, have you ever been there? I mean,
Yeah, I've been there. I've
oh
been there.
yeah, I was just, you said it right there, five choices, because I can't remember. It's been a couple of years since I've been there, but it seemed like they always had some type of steak or pork chop or something that was very good. And then you got to get one of their five beers, which is always a good selection. So,
Oh, they only have five beers. Okay. Wait, because like, is it just local
Yeah,
brews?
I'm pretty sure I remember being a couple Tropicalias, maybe a Terrapin, that type of
Nice.
deal. But yeah, it's always good. The atmosphere is cool. It's a neat little place. And I believe every time I've been in there, I've seen somebody, fairly popular, famous, so to speak, of the UGA variety.
Interesting. So you're saying, one of the better, maybe chemistry professors or somebody from the law school, is that what you're
Yeah,
saying?
people really changing the world out there. So, yeah.
I think I've just gone on the safe route. Usually I've just gotten a burger when I've gone there, but yeah, I think the Kirby copter doesn't fly by itself. You got to put some money into it. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Ryan, Georgia baseball's Foley Field is going to have some renovations that will be in place now, it seems, by not by into well, it's not going to happen before the 2025 season. That's when it's supposed to happen, and could be up in the $40 million range. We saw some renderings at the athletic board meeting Tuesday. Looks like a bullpen in down the left field line. I know there's going to be some loges, is that how you pronounce it? Some more premium seats in that kind of way, a little bit more shade for the fans as that canopy is going to be extended, I think. And most importantly for Scott Stripling and his team, a lot of bells and whistles indoors for players, like, hitting lab or rather pitching lab, another hitting cage, coaches' offices. Georgia's pretty far behind in terms of baseball facilities if you look around the SEC. I don't know if this will move them, where it will move them in the rankings, middle of the pack, maybe. It certainly wouldn't put them in the top tier, I don't think. You've written about Foley Field in the past. You think they should just stay there because it's like a great location, or do they need to go somewhere else and have a new ballpark?
Well, that's always been the question, right? The rumors that they would demolish it and move out to maybe where the softball and soccer complex are. But, there was rumors swirling at one point that maybe Athens could get a minor league team and they share a stadium or something like that. But I do like the location. I think it's a beautiful part of campus. You're right there on the edge of it. You got the nice environment of right field there with the greenhouse. But my question is, and I took a quick gander at the renderings. They're not doing nothing in outfield, right? I mean, it's just kind of down the left field line.
You're talking about like Pat, where all those trees are and stuff?
Yes.
No.
What is their fear of taking out some parking spaces out in that?
Hey, don't mess with the parking. There's not that much parking
That
there
makes
anyway.
no, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, there's a whole parking deck back there that could get everybody that wanted to come to the game, but why not add a little more atmosphere there
Wait,
to the left
are you
field?
sure you could fill up the, you think there's enough parking in that deck for everybody for a baseball game?
Yeah, I mean, and
How long
what
would it
if
take? How long would it take to get out of there, though, if everyone was parked in that
look, I
deck?
mean, there's so many places to park throughout campus if you come after 5 p.m. I mean, I've been doing that for years and years and years.
Don't
You
know.
can find a place to park.
You can just pay some
But
money
again,
at,
it's like
hey,
that.
hey, just pay some money at that Barrow Elementary School. Then there's somebody there waiting
Yeah,
to park
you
there.
can do that. You can do that. But here's the thing. All these great facilities, especially around the SEC, have an outdoor, I mean, an outfield area for seats. It looks like they have a lounging deck for students to get rowdy out there. Why not? Why not do that at Georgia? I mean, why are they afraid to take that step and add more to, they got the right field facility out there where you can kind of walk in and watch the game for free. But it doesn't compute with me of why they won't take out a couple parking spaces. Now, what are you looking at? 30, 35 parking spots? and just add a nice little area out there, even if it's standing only or whatever. I think that would just add to the atmosphere and kind of make it, bring it a little tighter, make it, a little bit more intimate, so to speak. And I think it would add to the atmosphere of Georgia baseball and might help them in recruiting and all.
I mean, you could ask Josh Brooks that question, but I would say that with a lot of things, given that it's in the campus footprint around there, like that's not just for baseball fans to park there. There's probably people that use other buildings in
Well, no, I
this.
mean, look, my wife, for an example, she has a parking pass out there for to go to biology.
Right.
I mean, I get that, but they can build football, whatever football wants, they can build that anywhere, and nobody bats an eye. And on game days, they take away parking from half the people that students that park on campus. So I don't know why taking a few more seats out or more parking spots out to add more seats.
Yeah.
That being an issue to the athletic department.
All right. Well, softball's also getting some upgrades out there. And I like that venue. I mean, it's kind of, more isolated because you're out there on South Milledge, but once you're in your seat, I think it's a pretty nice place to watch a game.
Yeah, you feel like you're right on top of the action, I mean,
Yeah.
it's the way they have it, kind of the slant of the seats and all.
All right, Stegman Coliseum in 2023-24, meaning next November starting. The students are going to be closer to the court. They are getting an extra section and will be moved down, closer to the court. Some faculty will be moved more upstairs, I guess, and they will have some more premium seating in the horseshoe area. They're also going to 20% of the seating, the per seat payments that season ticket holders need to make are going to go up. I didn't realize until I looked at the way they have that configured. You could pretty much sit right behind the Georgia bench and pay what was the number? It's $150 per seat if you're sitting there. You also could sit way up in the nosebleeds in the NN section or the OO section, which is in the corner opposite of the Georgia bench in the horseshoe area. And you're also paying $150. So that's a pretty wide disparity of view you're getting. Now they do have $2,500 courtside seating, $1,750 for sideline seating. But I think they're trying to, well, I know they're trying to bring in some more revenue that way, as well as have some more premium spaces. So who knows what the numbers are going to be for the most expensive seats. If they're raising those rates, but they made a point of emphasizing 80% of the seats are going to be either the same price or lower. And the most important thing is the students getting closer to the action. What do you think?
Speaking of starting over a entire facility, I mean, I'm not so sure they need to demolish the place, but how about gutting the inside, starting over there? I mean, I know they did all those renovations. They put in the black seats. They put in the big scoreboard. I think that place needs to be redone from the inside. Now, I don't know if that would mean they'd have to move games to the Classic Center for a year or something while they did the renovation, but the whole place looks old. And we've talked about this before. I mean, if you go underneath to where there's the walkways, in the press room and all that other stuff. I mean, the entire place looks like it's from 1964. And I mean, I don't know what can be done and how they can make it look better, but I can't imagine that a recruit comes there and sees that and is like, yeah, I want to play for this program. I mean, the basketball facilities they added, what, about 14 years ago now, I think, are appealing and nice, but the gym itself needs a facelift on the inside, and I think that should be the next big project because they got to make that place look a little more appealing.
Well, how important is basketball to Georgia? And that's going to be probably, you're talking about tens of millions, if not reaching more than that. If you're going to do the kind of things that are really going to give it a new look, and well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. How important it is. Well, I think I know. It's not football. Football is very important.
Well, obviously.
So. you got to make your choices of what you're doing. But what about the student aspect of having them closer to the court?
I think it still didn't really look too different to me. I mean, maybe I need to go back and look at the map, but you think about the Cameron Crazies or whatever, and no way am I comparing Georgia basketball to Duke, but I mean, they're right on top of things, and it didn't seem like they were that much lower or different. I don't know. I think if you made kind of a ring around the court of only students, that would be a new
No,
look.
that's it's not going to be that. It's going to be
I
one.
know.
It's going to be one additional section,
That's what
but
I'm saying. I don't see much of a difference there,
well,
though.
they'll be lower down in that section. The way they framed it is we're shifting the student section in the lower section to command more of the baseline, and we're taking the seats all the way down to the floor level for the students. That's Darice Griffin, the senior deputy athletic director.
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Is there an issue? I mean, I guess no place really has student sections behind another team's bench, but I don't know. It just doesn't
Yeah,
seem.
I was talking to someone about that today. I think the SEC does not allow that.
Well, I'm even thinking about ACC schools. I mean, thinking about a Duke or North
Yeah.
Carolina, you're not.
The other thing they're doing is they're flipping the benches, which I didn't know really the significance of it, I guess, but I didn't really pay that much attention. What it means is that, for instance, the other day, Ole Miss was shooting their free throws in the second half. Not where the students were, but they were shooting at the opposite end. So this way you will have, in a tight game down the stretch, you'll have the ability of fans to really, the students really, to, get in the face of the other team. And that was part of the aspect of it was making it more of a home field
You know
advantage
what's
then.
always been interesting to me that men's and women's benches were flipped. You ever notice that?
They
And
are. And
what's
now,
the
so,
point? What's the point behind that?
well, now they're going to be,
On the same, I'd imagine. Yeah.
They'll be the same. I don't know. I feel like, I'm not sure. So anyway, all right. I want to take a break and come back and talk more about NFL Combine and a famous Bulldog that retired, as well as more about this basketball program.
Let's do that. Thanks for listening to the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Like what you hear? Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating, a like, and even leave us a comment to let us know how we're doing. As always, find more content at onlineathens.com and in the Athens Banner Herald. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. NFL Combine invites are out. There are 12 Georgia players who will be heading to Indianapolis late this month, rolling into March. Robert Beal. Let me know before I read the whole list. I'll give you a name and tell me if you think going to the combine and running, doing interviews will help or hurt this player's stock.
All right,
Last
this
year, pretty much helped everybody.
no.
All right, Robert Beal.
Yeah, that'll definitely help Robert
Why you say that?
Beal. I mean, he's a guy that, I think had a big impact on Georgia, but was kind of, not really talked about as much as he should have been, I think. So I think to go get his physicality, stocky build in front of these scouts and whatnot, and to give good interviews, I think would definitely help him.
I don't know. I'm gonna call it a push. Stetson Bennett. I think it could go either way with him. I don't know. I think his film obviously speaks for itself. Obviously, we've talked about the off-field issue that popped up after the parade, or I guess a week after the parade. He's not gonna. He's gonna get. He's gonna measure. He's gonna probably do fine in the drills. Maybe he'll run a better 40 time than we think. I mean, he's pretty elusive. What do you think?
I think Stetson has 2 months to 2.5 months to get it, to redeem himself, so to speak, and let these scouts and coaches and everybody else know that where he's focused and that type of stuff. So I think it's vitally important that he goes to this and performs well and interviews well and he's got plenty of film out there, but something's happened since he led Georgia to a national title. So I think it's very important for him to get in front of everybody and prove his worth and kind of redeem himself.
Jalen Carter, top 10 pick, probably, way higher than that. So, I guess what he runs will matter, what he does on the field, presuming he does. You know, that some of these guys could just
Wait
choose to.
till.
Yeah, but I think they won't. I mean, I think everyone put up really good times last year, so that track probably, is advantageous for them. So,
Is that important for a D lineman though? I mean, who cares if Jalen Carter runs a
I mean, it
or seven or a 5-3? I mean,
certainly helped Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt, you know.
yeah, I know, but my thinking is somebody that's already
Well,
projected to go top five, I don't think he's going to be dropped if he runs a little bit slower time. And what's the risk that you pull
I
something
don't
while
know.
you're running?
I don't know. All right, what about Kyrus Jackson? I think, I don't know if it matters for him. I think he's a third day guy. We'll see.
I mean, I think it's important for him to just get in front of people. You know, if he opens an eye with a fast run or anything like that, I think it'll benefit
I think he'll do great in the interview room. I'll say that.
him.
With these
Oh,
15 or 20 minute meetings
you
with
saw he
the
was a 4.0 kid too.
Yeah, I'll ask him about that if I
Impressive.
get a chance. So
Impressive.
Broderick Jones, he is looking like a top 15 pick from what I'm seeing in these reputable mock drafts. So, and I think he will do great in the interview rooms.
Yeah.
Very, represented himself very well in interviews with media. Warren McClendon, I'm not sure. Seems like I don't know if he's like even a third round guy, probably a day three guy. But good for him to be out there as well. Kenny McIntosh is a guy I think that could certainly help his stock, showing his ability again as a pass catcher, and probably will do some good stuff on the field as well.
That might be an important 40 time. You're right. But, what we saw out of Kenny this year was catching the ball out of the backfield. Really impressive on a lot of the things he did. So I think if he gets out there, performs well in that, if he's route running with some of the quarterbacks or whatnot, it might really help him.
Jack Podlesny, I don't think it matters. I mean, he is what he is in terms of very good college career. I don't think people are necessarily looking at 40. Didn't Camardo run a good time? I think he did run a good time though.
Yeah,
So
maybe.
I don't know.
Kickers are so funny though, right? Because you might think you have the greatest kicker of all time and they might not get drafted, and then another dude, kicks for 20 years in the league that like out of Georgia State, So you never know.
Keely Ringo is going to run well, at least according to a site called Tracking Football. Their Twitter account listed him as the first, second, third, fourth fastest combine invitee in terms of their 100-meter high school track time. Ran a 10.43, which is ahead of the 10.46 of Jalin Hyatt of Tennessee. So, look, Ringo is not going to be going up against wide receivers. They don't do that. It's not like that. You're doing drills on the field, so I think he can help himself with what he does, his raw measurables and times,
I'm definitely interested to see what he'll run in the 40. And the thing is, kind of got viral his track down during the Ohio State game where he blitzed off the left side. And I think with Marvin Harrison, he tracked down and forced a fumble. They just kind of showed his electric speed. So I'm definitely interested to see what he can put on the clock, if it's in the 4-3 range or not.
Christopher Smith, the safety, made some huge plays for Georgia. Kind of a savvy veteran player for the Bulldogs, and I don't know for sure how he did at the Senior Bowl, but I saw some clips that he certainly looked like he did a good job in some of the coverage, and maybe he, maybe he'll get some cornerback reps even. I don't know. Nolan Smith, I don't think he's going to be doing like weightlifting at the combine, but we'll get a chance to do some other things and have a chance to show people his magnetic personality.
Yeah, he's a guy. He might have been a top 15 pick had he not been injured. I don't know where he'll fall to now, if it'll affect him at all, but I think it's a good chance for him to go out there and try to prove that his shoulder and all is back to almost healthy, I'd imagine.
I think he's showing up in, some mocks, but not most in the first round. Darnell Washington is a first round guy. He's probably going to blow up with some combine stuff that he'll do, I would guess. Wonder what that dude will bench.
I don't know, but you think about even what about the vertical? If he's off the charts with that, I bet he can.
Yeah, didn't he do some leaping on the field?
I've seen that. Yeah, exactly. You know, and getting back to these guys, him talked to Broderick Jones. They were beside each other, I think, at the Peach Bowl press conference. Other guys, Kiaris, you mentioned Nolan. I mean, those are great guys. I think all will interview well because their personalities are just through the roof.
One guy that didn't get an invite that is going to be in the draft pool this year is Warren Erickson, who declared for the draft, I guess you could say, even though I mean he was listed as I need to look at the NFL eligibility list. I mean he could have come back, but I mean I think he felt it was time. He wasn't a starter anymore, so probably not a surprise he's not among the 325. He'll have it, or whatever the exact number is, but he'll have a chance to show out at Georgia's pro day.
Yeah, I guess he was a guy that kind of got his spot taken from Sid Van Pran, didn't he? And then moved to guard and then lost it again. But yeah, it's interesting to me that he left. I guess he felt like you said, his time was up.
All right, NFL retirement for AJ Green, the former Georgia star wide receiver. Is he the best Georgia wide receiver ever?
Gosh, man. Now, who are you putting in category here with Terrence Edwards? You think about early Fred Gibson. Yeah, I mean he was so explosive. And you think about the Colorado catch that might be the best ever by him, and then yeah, he was just so solid as a professional. To answer your question, one of the best Georgia receivers ever. Yeah, I mean definitely Mount Rushmore, I think, on best Georgia receivers. How about for guys you've covered since you've been here? I mean, that's one of the best, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, let's give some props to Tavares King, to Malcolm Mitchell, to Chris Conley.
They weren't AJ Green. They weren't AJ Green.
I would mention George Pickens when he was on the field.
I
Fred
mean,
Gibson.
Hines Ward, you can't leave Hines out of the discussion.
I didn't cover him, but yeah.
Right.
I will say this: I went and interviewed AJ Green at his high school in South Carolina when he was a big time recruit. Very how would I describe it? He was a good interview. He was always available and like graceful and
That smile, man. He always smiling.
always did it. In one instance, he showed us how his juggling skills, like in the lobby of Butzmere. We were doing an interview on the second floor, and I don't know how it came up in conversation, so he did some juggling.
What did he juggle?
I don't even remember what it
Like,
was.
was it like a banana, a chainsaw, and a golf ball?
There's no chainsaw. I can't remember if I don't think there was a banana. I don't know what it was, but if you Google AJ Green and juggling, like he's done it on the pro level.
Well, do you remember a couple of years ago when I think it was the Super Bowl in Atlanta with the Rams and was it the Patriots? They had pulled in a big bus over in the Kroger Alps parking lot, and I can't remember who it was. His spot he was sponsoring or
Yeah,
whatever.
yeah, yeah.
But I got to go on the bus just one on one with him for a while. He was so nice, man. You know, I asked him a lot about the Georgia players. I think Sony Michel was in that Super Bowl. I can't remember who else might have been playing in that Super Bowl, but. Yeah, he said they had a big group, you know, text going amongst all of them, and they'd all give each other a hard time, but, you know, give each other props and stuff. So, yeah, he was just a super nice guy. And, you know, I know he was there for to be the sponsor for whoever that was he was repping. But, I mean, he could have been a jerk, and he wasn't. So I'll always remember that.
Yeah, the sad thing with him is 3 years at Georgia, four games taken away because of the suspension for selling his Independence Bowl jersey, which is like,
That's the thing I think of when I think of NIL all the time, is that's what
right.
that was created for, was situations like his,
Yeah.
not what it's kind of turned into. But
Right.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
All right, Georgia basketball. Georgia is now tied with Mississippi State for 11th in the SEC standings, if which means one of those teams is going to probably be. There's still some more games to go, but the bottom four teams are still playing on that Wednesday in Nashville. So Georgia didn't look like they were in that area, but that's where they are now. They've lost 6 of 7, 4 and 7 in the SEC, 14 and 10 overall. What is Georgia's final SEC record now?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't lose to Ole Miss. That was 1-9. I think South Carolina, is that still their only win against Georgia in SEC play?
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, this feels I hate to say this, but this feels now like a 6-12 finish. Now we'll see what happens with Terry Roberts. He was out the Ole Miss game, and maybe he'll be back for Kentucky.
That's a big loss, obviously.
Yeah. So Kentucky, I feel like, you know, just playing Kentucky's not playing great. They're maybe close to the NCAA bubble. But I think that's a loss. Kentucky needs the win. They just came coming off a loss to Arkansas. LSU next week, I feel, is a win. Alabama in Alabama, a loss. At Arkansas, probably a loss. I think you win one of these two games, Missouri and Florida at home. I don't know which one. And Georgia doesn't seem to go to South Carolina and win basketball games very much. So I'm going to say that's a loss. So yeah, that'll make you 6-12.
And what I had said a second ago was that they lost South Carolina, but that was a close win, I guess, in a game that shouldn't have been that close. Yeah. But, I mean, they're struggling without Terry Roberts, obviously. We've discovered he's the commander of that ship. And hopefully he can return. They can at least pull off a few more victories here along the way. But, just struggling right now.
So give me a number. What do you think? You
I'll
go 7-11?
I'll go one better, yeah, 7-11.
All right.
What are they now? Tell me again.
4-7.
4-7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weren't they – what were they, 4-2 there for a minute?
They were 3-1 at one point.
3-1,
yeah. All right, everyone, enjoy the Super Bowl weekend. Maybe Georgia gets a big win against Kentucky. And maybe we'll get some news on Todd Monken sometime. What do you think?
I would expect it. I mean, team's got to make some decisions here.
I don't know. Maybe after the Super Bowl. Who knows? All right, everyone. Talk to you next time.
Have a good one.